Welcome to the Shiur Tzav HaKabbalah Parshas Tzav. I wanted to start tonight with a piece from the Tzav HaKabbalah on defining the word Toda. Toda, we know, of course, means in modern day Hebrew, thank you. Toda, a carbon Toda, which is referenced in the Parshas HaShavua, is oftentimes translated as a carbon of thanksgiving. Certainly it's a carbon that a person would bring in the time of the Beis HaMikdash when having been delivered from some kind of very, very difficult situation, the same kind of situation that would prompt the person to bench Gomel in modern day times. The Tzav HaKabbalah gives a different twist on how we're supposed to understand the word Toda in general, and I think it's particularly apt as we're very soon going into Purim, where so much of Purim is about the concept of Hoda'ah, which is, you know, we insert the Al Hanisim and the Bracha of Hoda'ah both in Birkas HaMazon as well as in Shemoneh Esrei. So clearly, you know, defining the word Toda, you know, is something which is very, very germane. So he quotes the Sefer Beis HaOtzar that Lashon Hoda'ah Shebelashon Chachamim Hanemar L'in Hachzakas Tova L'inyan Halel V'Shevach. It's true that if you look in the language used by Chazal, the word Toda implies thanksgiving, praise, appreciation, all of these sort of things. But Eino HaHora HaAtzmus, that's really a borrowed use of the term Toda, right? The word Toda in its pure, pristine form really means something else, namely, Omnom nimshachu bitzad ma me'inyan hoda shebelashon hamikra. If you look in Tanakh, which again is the original source of all the words, you know, in the Hebrew language, so we find that toda, hoda, in Lashon Tanakh, in biblical Hebrew, has a different intention. Ki belashon mikra inyana be'etzem v'rishona hachna'a. The word hoda'a, or lahodos, Hoda, Toda in biblical Hebrew always carries the implication of submission, right? To submit to someone is to engage in Hoda, and he goes and explains that Kishoresh Hoda, right? The root of the word Hoda, Hu Yoda V'inyana Nesinas Yad. The word Hoda is related to the Shoresh Yud Dalet Hey, which means to give a hand. So what does it mean to give a hand? So again, in modern day terms, to give a hand to someone, you know, either means to salute someone or to applaud someone. But he says again, if you look back in Tanakh, Lashon Nesinas Yad Mara B'Lashon HaMikra Hachnas Atzma L'Ritzon Acherim. Right? Whenever we look in Tanakh, Nesinas Yad, giving a hand, always implies submitting to the will of others. So he quotes, for instance, the Pasuk in Eicha, where the Jewish people say that we submitted, Nosanu Yod, we submitted to Mitzrayim, to Egypt, or another Pasuk from Divrei Hayamim, Nosnu Yad Tachas Shlomo, where the Pasuk in Divrei Hayamim describes the various countries and nations that gave a hand under Shlomo. Again, there the implication clearly is that they submitted to the rule of Shlomo HaMelech. They were conquered by Shlomo HaMelech. So whereas, you know, it's interesting to see how these things change from culture to culture, in our culture, to give someone a hand, to stick your hand out to someone, is an expression of friendliness, of a relationship that's a relationship of equals, of parity. But Nesinas Yad in the Tanakh does not imply the idea of parity or equality or anything like that. It means submission. Those who stick out their hands to someone else is the equivalent of waving the white flag, you know, to show that you have submitted to the other party. V'chein inyan hoda mashma'uso hachnas atzmo la'avoda. So the whole idea of hoda, which is borrowed from the idea of Nesinas Yad, of giving a hand, means that a person submits himself and is going to fulfill the will and do the work for the one to whom he is submitting. V'lazeh kara'im b'modim, kitam modim anachnu lach, is nichna'im anachnu l'avodasecha. That's why, as we just have a mincha a few moments ago, when we get up to the bracha of modim, we bow. Why do we bow? Because the very words modim anachnu lach, which, again, I don't have an article in front of me, but I think many of the Siddurim translate modim anachnu lach as we thank you, or we acknowledge you, or something of that nature, says the Aksava Kabbalah, modim anachnu lach means we submit to you, we subjugate ourselves to you, right? We are totally under your control, Ribbono Shel Olam. And what better way to express that physically than bowing? You know, as we bow, you know, bowing typically is a sign of submission, that we are submitting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Eitzel Dibur Kazeh Hakniya Re'uya. If we're going to say Modim Anachnu Lach, right? We submit to you. So bowing at that point is certainly very, very significant and appropriate. Ukniya Hamechuvedes B'Milas Hoda. Humipnei hakaras malas ha'adon alav lo miyira v'lo mitocheles. He goes on to say, when we say modim, right, we submit, it's not that we submit because we're fearful, and it's not that we submit because we think we're going to get something out of it. It's that we're submitting because we recognize that the one to whom we are submitting is far, far superior than we are. Right, that's the whole idea of modim anachnu lach. We are just we are dust in front of you. We are nothing in front of you. We utterly are submitting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vashem hanigzar min hapoel hazeh hu todah. The word todah is the noun that comes from the verb hoda. Hoda means to submit. So todah means, in its most basic form, submission. That is the dictionary definition of todah. From the point of view of Tanakh, says the Aksava Kabbalah, the inyano achnas asmo l'ritzon acherim. It means when a person submits to the will of others. Uvazeh novin ma'od marmar Shlomo behinogef amcha v'shavu eilecha v'hodu es shemecha. He says we can appreciate with this understanding of toda or hoda as submitting, submission, and the like. We can understand a line in the tefillah of Shlomo HaMelech when he dedicates the Beis HaMikdash. Shlomo HaMelech in Malachim Aleph, Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, describes that if the Jewish people are lose at war, and then subsequently they're able to gain victory over their enemies, v'shavu eilecha, they will return to you. V'holdu es shemecha. What's v'holdu es shemecha? Right? So he says, hachna hatzricha el hatshuva. Right? The holdu es shemecha in that context means they will submit to your name. In other words, they will, by definition, tshuva involves submission. In other words, if a person doesn't submit, he doesn't have the building blocks to be able to repent, to engage in tshuva. So when Klal Yisrael have been defeated in some way, and they realize that they have to turn back, that they have to return and repent to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so V'hodu es Shemecha, you know, is an integral part of that submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'rashi pirei sham chayev levarich al ha'ra. Right, so again, the issue in that pasuk in Malachim is as follows. If you look in the context of Malachim, so he's describing how the Jewish people have been defeated at war, behinagev amcha. So under those circumstances, v'hodu es shemecha means they will thank you. It seems a little bit odd to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the context of defeat. So the Ksav HaKabbalah is saying v'hodu es shemecha means they will submit to you. Rashi over there in Malachim says that this is an example of what Chazal say, Chayev Adam Levarech Al Ha'ra, Kishem Shem Levarech Al Ha'Tova, that a person has to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for bad things, the same way he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for good things. And that's V'hodu Es Shemecha. But the Aksav HaKabbalah is pointing out, you don't have to explain that way necessarily. In other words, if you explain V'hodu, not as they will thank, but rather they will submit themselves to your name. So then in the context of Klal Yisrael experiencing a crushing defeat, you know, they will submit to your name is an absolutely appropriate thing to say under the circumstances. Right? similarly, Yoshua Amar Le'achon V'sen Lo Tota. Right? The Pasuk describes in the beginning of Sefer Yoshua how when the Jewish people conquer Yericho, they're under strict orders not to take any of the spoils of Yericho. So one person, Achon, violates those orders and takes from the spoils of Yericho. He's found out by the Urim V'Tumim, and when Yoshua addresses Achon before he's about to be put to death, you know, for having violated the commandment not to take the spoils of Yericho, Yoshua says to him, you know, V'sen lo toda, give toda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now again, in the context of addressing a criminal who's about to be executed, saying to him, give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, seems very inappropriate, maybe even a cruel sort of thing, you know, a sarcastic sort of thing to say to the person. Give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Because I'm about to be stoned? I mean, what exactly am I giving thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? What's that? Okay, you know, so you could say that, but he says on a simple level, right, so Hatam, ki lo hayu eidim badover, vim hayu achon kofer hayu yotzei naki. The truth is there were no witnesses. Had Achon denied being the one who took the spoils, you know, he would have been let off the hook. In other words, Aksav HaKabbal assumes that the fact that he was caught by the Urim V'Tumim wouldn't have been enough to condemn him to death had he not admitted on his own. L'sikach amar lo Yoshua ki me'achar shakadosh baruch hu gilo rizono api agoro roi lo shikana lefonov ve'al yisnakel livrach migzeroso. Says Yoshua to Achan as follows: God clearly wants you to die. God clearly pointed his finger at you, Kaviyachol, through the Urim V'Tumim. God clearly, you know, wants you to be held accountable in this world for what you did. Accept it. The Sen Lo Toda, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, submit yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nullify yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you know, submit to the will of Hashem. Subjugate yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't try to run away from the fate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has outlined from you. Because of Lachin Omar Lo Shiyasim Kavod Lashem Elokei Yisrael Klomar Shim Be'emes Yivoda Hu Heyos Yodea Hu Heyos Yitomin Acherim Al Yizalzil Bagor Aloma Mikrehu. So previously Yoshua says to Achon that you should give kavod to Hashem, the God of Israel. What does that mean? So Yoshua basically says to Achon, look, if you know that the Urim V'Tumim is right, don't say, that was a fluke. You know, it's amazing how it just happened to pick me out. Don't say that. Raki kadei shmo shel Hashem shel Elokei Yisrael v'mashkiach aleihem v'mitol goralom. You should sanctify the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And, you know, recognize, you know, by your admission that the Urim V'Tumim, you know, caught you and, you know, caught you red-handed, it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem which will take place at that point in time. So coming back to us, the Karban Todah, which is referenced in this week's Parsha, V'chein Zevach HaTodah, Hu Karban She'odam Mevi L'Haros Hachna Osa L'Fanav Yisbarach. The whole role of a Karban Todah is not so much to give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but is to show the degree to which a person submits himself and humbles himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore he quotes in that context the Pasuk in Tehillim, L'fikach achre shehizkir osaf ki ein chefetz l'Hashem ba'olos uzvachim ki loko chayis os yar. Right, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Perek Nun, that God doesn't really need korbanos. After all, God has all of the beasts of the field that are His already. So it's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a personal need, Cholila, for the korbanos. However, Zevach le'elokim toda, v'shalem le'elyon nedarecha. The pasuk goes on to say, slaughter to HaKadosh Baruch Hu a korban toda, or a toda, and make good on your vows to the one who is most high, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I don't get it. The truth is, if you follow the psukim, it's almost two contradictory ideas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has no need for karbanos, so therefore, bring a karban toda to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I thought you just told me that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a need for a karbanos, so what are you saying? Kloma, what it means to say is as follows. Right? Even though it's not as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu really needs the karbanos in a direct physical sense, it's not as if he needs gifts from us. Nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does have a great desire, as it were, for a karban shlomim, which, as we know from this week's parasha, is eaten by the one who brings the karban. Why? There are two different types of karban shlomim. Im letoda laharos hachna asenu lefanav, al kol asher hitiv imanu l'sha'avar. Either a karban toda shows our submission to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if you bring a karban shlamim, that's a neder and a dava. In other words, you voluntarily bring a karban shlamim to daven that the future should be good. So that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu desires not so much, not at all, because he needs the physical karban in any way, but the idea which is expressed by the karban, either the fact that you submit yourself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or the fact that you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have that connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where, you know, you would naturally turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all your needs, right? And that's when you have a need for the future. Your natural reaction is to bring a karban neder, a karban nedava, to daven, and to beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the future. It's that sentiment expressed by the karban, which is very, very precious to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not the karban per se, but it's the sentiment which is behind the karban. And one of those sentiments is the sentiment of toda, of that sense of hachna'a, again, of submitting ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'inei ein lehakchish ki azevach hazeh hu kolel inyan hachzokas tova ka'al kol asher gemalonu Hashem. It's undeniable, says the Aksav v'Kabbalah, that the karban toda does carry an element, a very important element, of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that he's done to us. Again, clearly the circumstances under which you bring a karban toda are where a person has gone through some kind of very, very difficult traumatic situation and has been saved from it. So the person wants to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that experience. For Omnom Eich Yichlo Lashon Toda Hahora Hazos. But nonetheless, let's stop and consider for a moment, how does the word toda, which we've just explained means submission, how does toda carry with it the sense of appreciation and gratitude for that which has been bestowed upon the person? So he goes on to say as follows, Hine hu mipnei shazoveach hazeh hu makir bilibo ki chesed chinam asa lo ha'elokim b'li shiyehu roi lekach. Ultimately, the reason that the word toda, which means submission, is borrowed by Chazal to mean thanksgiving or appreciation, or the reason that the karban toda itself is a karban of thanksgiving and appreciation, when the word toda means submission, is because the ultimate thanksgiving and appreciation comes when the person says, I really didn't deserve this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did me a favor which I did not deserve. It was chesed chinam. It was an absolute act of kindness which, you know, I really didn't deserve on any level, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me. And in that case, hinei hu mashpil u'machnia atzmo lefanav. Right? So, for the person to really give thanks properly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to show his gratitude and his appreciation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's necessary for him to submit himself, to subjugate himself before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, the flow of ideas, says the Aksav HaKabbalah, as follows. A person went through a traumatic time. He wants to express his gratitude and his appreciation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first building block in enabling to do that is to say, I don't really deserve this. Because if a person comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, you know, of course I deserved everything that you did for me, so that's not really gratitude. You know, I deserved it. I had it coming to me. So thanks for giving me what I deserve anyway. The first step in real gratitude is for the person to say, I don't really deserve it. I'm really nothing before you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't owe me anything. Once the person says that through the karban toda, again, the karban of submission, so then the follow-up from that expression of submission is the gratitude and the thanksgiving, which is expressed through the Karban. So in a borrowed sense, the word Todah can mean thanksgiving and gratitude, but in a very, very pure, pristine sense, it means the idea of submission, which is the prerequisite for really being able to express, you know, gratitude in the proper way. And he quotes, he ends up by quoting a pasuk that's uttered by Yaakov Avinu in Bereishis Perek Lamed Beis, where Yaakov Avinu, in preparing for his encounter with Esav, says famously, "Kotonti mikol achasadim," right? Which in the simple meaning of the phrase means, "I am small and undeserving of all of the chasadim, all of the wonderful acts of kindness, of which you HaKadosh Baruch Hu have bestowed upon me." Right? So that, in other words, if a person says, "I'm deserving of all the chasadim," that's not really, you know, expressing gratitude. The person has to lower himself and say, "I'm undeserving," and then that's gratitude and appreciation in the fullest sense of the term. So, bringing that over to Purim, right? So we started off by saying that it's striking that the main tefillah, which is the additional tefillah of Purim, you know, the tefillah of Al Hanisim, is inserted into the bracha of Hoda'ah, both in Shemoneh Esrei as well as in Birkas HaMazon. We generally translate that bracha of Hoda'ah also as thank you. It's a bracha of thanksgiving. In light of the Asava Kabbalah, we'd probably be better off translating the words Modem Anachnu Lach or Noda Lecha Hashem Elokeinu as saying, "We submit to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu." These are brachos not of thanksgiving primarily, but of submission. And submission means, according to the Aksava Kabbalah, a recognition that on a fundamental level we're undeserving. So carry that over to Al Hanisim. So it's an important but sometimes overlooked hashkafa, which the Aksava Kabbalah is telling us about Al Hanisim. Al Hanisim is not only a tefillah, "Thank you, Hashem, for all of the nisim which you did to us in the period of Chanukah or the period of Purim." Essentially, Al Hanisim is saying, "Hashem, we are really undeserving of those nisim which you did to us in the time of Chanukah, in the time of Purim." Right? In other words, we can't claim that we deserved it. In light of the fact that we are totally submissive to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we recognize that you are so much greater than us, and so we are so undeserving of everything, you know, it's especially appropriate for us to extend our thanks and our gratitude for these nisim that you did for us, despite the fact that we're really not deserving of them in any sense of the term. So that's a hashkafa that we oftentimes overlook. You know, you should say Al Hanisim, okay, thank you, Hashem, right? But it's more than thank you, Hashem. It's thank you, Hashem, despite the fact that we are not really deserving and we are so lowly, you know, relative to you, HaKadosh Baruch.
Isn't it kind of a gray zone of what it means to be undeserving versus deserving? I mean, I know you're discussing deserving versus undeserving, but it's a continuum. I don't think for a person to completely feel they're undeserving is a very, I don't know if that's the most productive way to look at things.
Right. So if you're a psychologist would tell you, you know, you're supposed to have a sense of self-worth, right? But where does the sense of self-worth come from? Self-worth ultimately means that I feel that I have meaning and purpose because HaKadosh Baruch Hu put me here and wants me to carry out things. So if a person walks around saying, "I have no purpose, I have no meaning, there's no point for me here on planet Earth," that's a very defeatist kind of attitude, and that's not going to be a helpful kind of attitude. But if the person says, "I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me a meaning and a purpose, and I definitely have things that I have to accomplish here, and I feel positive about them, and yet I know that there is nothing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu owes me in any way, and, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinitely greater than me, and infinitely wiser than me, and infinitely just more shalem, you know, more complete in every single way, that, you know, in every single which way than I am." So, you know, that's not supposed to be a depressing thought. In other words, sometimes people get depressed when they feel that they're not as accomplished as the other guy. but a person shouldn't get depressed that he feels he's not as accomplished as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a much better CV than I do. Okay, yeah, it's true. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a much better CV than I do. That's true. You know, if he and I were to go out for any job together, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would definitely get the job. You know, no question. Okay, but that's not a depressing thought. That's just a grounding thought. That's a realistic thought. That the person has to realize that in life, you know, I am nothing vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for me is really a tremendous act of chesed. But again, it doesn't mean that I'm worthless. That's the subtle difference. I'm not worthless. I have a lot of worth. But the worth that I have is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu instills that worth in me. You know, and I have to recognize that, you know, really every single day. Okay, we will pick up following Meir with another piece from Aksava Kabbalah. Next week, Bez Hashem, will be back to the regular Wednesday schedule. Tomorrow, Bez Hashem, between Mincha and Ma'ariv, we'll discuss in Yonei Purim. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shiur on Aksava Kabbalah Parshas Tzav. The Pasuk says in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Yutes, V'habasar asher yiga b'chol tomei lo yeyochel. If the flesh of the carbon touches anything tame, it cannot be eaten. Bo'eshi sorry, if it has to be burned. V'habasar, concerning this flesh, kol tahor yochal basar. Anyone who is tahor, who is pure, can eat the flesh. So the Ksav HaKabbalah quotes a Gemara in Sota, Daf Chaf Tes Amud Aleph. Amar Rav Gidol b'shem Rav, b'chol tamei, Vadai tamehu lo yochal basar, hasafik tamei v'safik tar yochal. Rav Gidol, the name of Rav, says that since the pasuk, when the pasuk begins by saying that anyone who is tamei, who touches the meat cannot be eaten, it means only if we know for sure that the person is tamei. But if the person might be tamei, might be tahor, so then the basar, then the flesh can be eaten. And then on the second half of the pasuk, where it says kol tahor yochal basar, anyone who is pure, is tahor, can eat the flesh. He dashes exactly the opposite way. Vaday tahor hu yochal basar, hosafik tamei v'safik tahor lo yochal. Right? Only someone who is certainly tahor can eat the flesh of the karbon. Not somebody who might be, might not be. You know, it has to be certainly tahor. The person has to be certainly tahor in order to be able to eat from the flesh of the karbon. So right away, the Gemara in Sota, it points out that that's a contradiction. In other words, the beginning of the pasuk is saying, you know, you're explaining the beginning of the pasuk to say that you know, that if there's a doubt, you know, we assume that everything is fine, whereas the end of the pasuk you're reading to say, if there's a doubt, we have to be machmir, unless we know for sure that the person is tahor, so that's an internal contradiction. So the Gemara goes on in Sota to explain that there are different times when we're either machmir or mekil with a suffix tumah, right? And that's the source of the idea that we have in halacha, that a suffix tumah b'rishus hayachid is considered to be tameh, a suffix tumah b'rishus harabim is considered to be tahor. And the Gemara there goes on to say certain sfeikos were machmir on, certain sfeikos were mekil on. The Haksava Kabbalah wants to know where Rav Gidol is drawing his drasha from. You know, in other words, why does he come to the conclusion that this pasuk specifically is talking about the issue of sfeikos, of, you know, where something is either tamei, we're not sure whether something is tamei or tar or not. So he writes, nearly daitam, it would seem to me that what the Gemara is getting at is as follows. Ki milas kol yishamish gamal kol echad mehapratim ashayachim lamin echad kamo ish ve'isha kol ish ve'isha shuha kol yachid ve'yachid ashayachim laklal v'ta'amo yiyah mishli yiyah. Kol, he says, is a word that can mean two different things. Kol can mean each and every one of, right? In Yiddish, he writes yeder, right? In other words, each and every one of a subgroup. You know, kol, each and every one of these people is subject to this halacha. However, kol can also mean the entirety of something. And in Yiddish, he writes in parentheses, gantz, right? So, you know, kol can mean each and every one. Kol can also mean and I something in its entirety. And sometimes kol can mean both. So, for instance, the pasuk says in Devarim, Perikhes, kol ha-mitzvah, asher anochi mitzvah eschem hayom tishmeru la'asos. All the mitzvah, meaning each and every mitzvah, and also the mitzvah in its entirety, right? Every mitzvah in its entirety, and each and every mitzvah should be observed by you. In other words, the word kol can have that, that quality to it. Similarly, over here he says, when the pasuk speaks about kol tame or kol tahor, it means to say every single person, or from every single perspective, we would look at this person as being either tahor or tame. In other words, not just one way to read the pasuk is habaster ashiga b'chol tame. Lo yeyachel, every person who is tameh, who touches this meat, renders the meat, tameh, that it cannot be eaten. But a different way to understand it is b'chol tameh, when something is tameh in its entirety, meaning tameh beyond any shadow of a doubt, that's when it makes the basar something which cannot be eaten. And similarly with the last part of the pasuk, v'habasar kol tahor yochal basar, means when someone is tahor beyond any shadow of a doubt, not just kol tahor, each and every person who is tahor, but tahor in its entirety, something which is tahor without any shadow of a doubt, only such a person is allowed to eat the meat under these circumstances. So in other words, according to the Aksava Kabbalah, the drasha which the Gemara is making is based on the word kol, and based on the word kol meaning something which is tame or tar is in its entirety without any shadow of a doubt. With that in mind, the Aksava Kabbalah addresses a lomdusha issue which comes up and may be related to this pasuk. So again, usually the Aksava Kabbalah, speaks more about linguistic issues or the like. But again, occasionally through the Aksava Kabbalah, we see him dealing with conceptual lomdusha issues, Talmudic issues that come up in the course of the Pesukim. There's a concept that Safek Daraisa L'Chumra, right? If you have a doubt about a Torah, an issue in Torah law, you're supposed to be Machmir. Is that concept, Safek Daraisa L'Chumra, itself Daraisa, or is that a Din D'Rabbanan? Right? Who tells us that Safek Daraisa L'Chumra? Does the Torah tell us that Safek Daraisa L'Chumra? Or really, according to the Torah, a Safek D'Oraisa, you could be Mekel. It's only when something is Vadai, is certainly a problem, that you have to be Machmir. The rabbis came along and they said, because of the severity of Torah law, you have to be Machmir when you have a Safek, when you have a Shailon Adin D'Oraisa. So this is a famous machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba. The Rambam holds that Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra is only a Din D'Rabbanan. The Rashba holds that Safek D'Oraisa L'Chumra is actually a din that that comes from the Torah itself, right? The Chavos Yoyer, one of the Gedolei Achronim, quotes this Gemara in Sota, which we quoted before, as a source for the Rambam. And basically, he argues as follows. When Rav Gidl interprets our Gemara as saying, kol, as opposed to kol, habasar shiiga b'chol tamei lo yeyachel, and the word tamei is interpreted to mean it's for sure tamei, or kol tahar yochal basar means that tahar means for sure tahar. So what the Torah then is saying, argues the Chavos Yair, is that when it identifies something as being tamei or tahar, it means beyond the shadow of a doubt. Right? So in other words, if you ever have a suffix, a doubt, about the status of something, we would not assume that it's typically going to be asur, midaraisa. It's only midarabana that they come along and they say, suffix daraisa l'chumra. So this pasuk and the interpretation of Rav Gidl, he says, is a source for the Rambam, that, something is mutter, if you have a doubt, something is considered to be mutter until you can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt, according to Torah law, that is going to be asur. Comes the Aksava Kabbalah and he says, based on his interpretation of the words, he doesn't think the Chavos Yoyer is correct in using this pasuk as a source of the Rambam. Why? Because it's not that the words Tameh and Tahar themselves mean certainly Tameh and certainly Tahar. It's the addition of the word Kol. Kol Tahar means something which is certainly Tahar. Kol Tameh means something which is certainly Tameh. But if you leave out the word Kol, argues the Ksava Kabbalah, so then if something might be Tameh or might be Tahar, we can't assume necessarily that everything is fine, right? As we maybe have to be machmir in the case of a Safek Daraisa. So if anything, the Pasuk itself proves the opposite of what the Chavos Yair is trying to prove. You know, the Pasuk and the interpretation of Rav Gidl ultimately may be more in line with the Rashba, that Safek Daraisa L'Chumra is from the Torah itself, as opposed to the Rambam who holds that Safek Daraisa L'Chumra is something which was imposed by the Rabban. And in any case, what you see over here is just very interesting, how a question in linguistics, according to the Aksava Kabbalah, can ultimately go back to a Lamdasha issue in trying to deal with this this issue. Is the Safik Daraisa L'Chumra something that comes from the Torah itself or from the Rabbana? Okay, I wanted to just put that down on the table, and Bez Hashem we will pick up next week if we have a minion. I think we did. Reb Chanan ben Akasha Omer.